Well, we're starting a new message series this week, and it's called Reclaim. Before I get to the message series, could I just take a moment and say, if you were here last Sunday, man, was it just an amazing outpouring of the Holy Spirit last week? Just amazing. If you missed it, you really missed it. And let me just tell you, just I'm so thankful for everybody that worked so hard and all the folks that are normally on praise and worship and these guys up here today in the band. Give our band and our singers a big hand if you would. Well, we're starting a new message series today entitled Reclaimed, and the reason why we're talking about this is because it seems to be kind of a current topic that things that were once of value, maybe that over time have been discarded, or maybe they've just lost their value to some people, they're being reclaimed. I think one of the biggest TV shows that has turned the corner on this is Chip and Joanna Gaines, you know? Lord have mercy. Who ever thought there was such a thing called shiplap? You know, I'm like, they have wallpaper for shiplap, you know? And it's taken this awesome little couple out there and made them kabillionaires. I don't know, is that a real word? But they're just wealthy as can be now. And they're awesome Christians, and that's a very cool thing. But a lot of other people become very proficient about taking things that were discarded, and that now they're making new things out of those. And we have some folks here in our church that are really actually very good at that. And Jackie Gonzalez back there working tech today. Wave your hand, Jackie. Everybody knows who Jackie is. She's taken some things in her house. They bought a new house a year or so ago, and she has put her fingerprints all over it, and she's taken some old things and discarded things and reworked them and turned them into decorations in her house. And so she has some things in the foyer today after the service that you can stop by and look at some of the things that she's reclaimed. And somebody else who's very good about that in our congregation is Marla Weech. And Marla Weech, honestly, like, she can take dust and turn it into something, you know? Like, and so Marla also has some stuff out in the foyer. So stop out after the service and see some of the ideas and some of the just creative ways that they're reclaiming some things. And here on the stage this week with us, this is a table, obviously, that Jill and Chaz are renovating their house. I'm praying for them both, because they're renovating like the whole deal. Bathrooms, kitchen, knocking down walls. Chip and Joanna Gaines would be so proud of them, you know. And so this is their breakfast table. And so how long, Jill, you're here in the room, how long have you had the breakfast table? Sixteen years, and if you could see the top of this, it's kind of worn out on the top of this, and so they've been wanting to renovate their breakfast table and to reclaim it and renew it rather than going out and buy a new one, because there have been so many discussions around this table and so many important things in life that have happened around this table, and some of their best memories have happened around this table. So rather than discarding this, they decided that they're going to add new value to it. So they, together with us, over the next few weeks, we're going to refinish this. And so they're going to have this in their home at the end, and you're going to be a party to watch this as it takes place every week over the next few weeks. And that's really what this message series is about, that we're going to reclaim some things. Specifically, what I want us to reclaim is I'd like for us to reclaim the table. We're going to talk about reclaiming the table in our lives for these next few days. The table has really been the center of community, the center of family. It's the place where we eat. And somewhere along the way, it seems like we've lost the culture and the tradition of gathering around the table for meals. And now, instead of it hosting our families, instead of there being meals on it, generally it's stacked up with mail on it. And instead of it being a place where we gather together and we maintain our home and our family, it's really a place where homework is done. And so now we think that there's something special about the table. We think there's something special about the table in your life and at your house. So we're going to ask you over these next few weeks to reclaim the table. Okay, so there's a hashtag that I'd like for you to start to use, and we're going to put this hashtag up here. It's hashtag CCO Reclaimed Table. CCO Reclaim Table. Go ahead and write that down because I'm going to talk a lot about that today. And there's some reason why we want you to do this is because over the next 3 weeks, if you'll use this on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, or whatever it is that you're on, and mention Christ Church of Orlando and reclaimed hashtag CCO Reclaim Table, take a picture of yourself or just make maybe a note. For everyone who does that over the next 4 weeks, we're going to gather up all of those names off of social media. And on the last week of this series, we're going to give you a dinner for four at Rio Tuscan Grill in Winter Park. So hashtag us, and what it's going to do, it's going to post on your Facebook or Twitter or on your Instagram account, and it's going to allow you to point people in this direction. So take a picture of yourself and your family, and you might say, well, I don't have a family. Well, then take a picture of you and your cat, and if you don't have a cat, there's a free one in the parking lot you can pick up after the service, you know? So, I mean, CCO Reclaim Table. Here we go. We're going to do some great stuff in this series. And you might be wondering, like, how we chose this subject. It's because what happens at the table. So here are some of the things that I see that happens at the table. There are great discussions. Like some of life's biggest decisions take place there. There's discipleship that takes place at the table. We can get healthier when we gather at the table. And we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. Relationships grow when we gather at a table. There's a time for us to remember and give thanks for what God's done for us. It's a time of thankfulness. And you may not realize this, but God talks about the table. He talks about food and eating throughout the entire Bible. In fact, in the very first chapter of Genesis, God creates man and woman, puts them in a garden, and then not long after that, he tells them, he begins to talk about food. He says, you can have anything you want to eat except for that. You can eat anything in this garden except for that. And you know what they went for? The except for that. That was the first thing. And it's kind of just like that in our lives. It seems like we have some things in our life that we shouldn't do or some things that we shouldn't eat. And those are the very things that we want at that moment. And it's almost like food became an issue in the very first chapter. But there was something that God even set it out there that food, you can eat whatever you want to. In the Old Testament, throughout the entire Old Testament, food actually becomes a narrative for the story of the Old Testament. That there were things that they did in their family in the Jewish community where the story would actually tell their traditions. The food would tell their traditions. It would tell their culture. It would tell how they came out of bondage. It would tell where they were heading in their future. Food was a part of the narrative. And it's not just in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we gather, and next Sunday we're going to be having communion. And when we take communion, the food is a narrative. There's a cup and there's bread, and it reminds us of what Christ has done for us, and it also tells us what he has for us in our future. Meals throughout the Bible preach to us. Meals throughout the Bible, they tell us a story. They tell us even what God is doing in us. And so much of Jesus's ministry in the Bible actually revolves around stories. There's been some real study done into this, and in the book of Luke, according to Robert Karras, he's a theologian, and he studied this out. In the book of Luke, Jesus in every story is either coming from a meal or going to a meal or at a meal when he does ministry. He's coming from a meal, going to a meal, or at a meal when he does ministry. So all throughout Jesus' life, there's always food involved in that. And then even this, from the beginning of the Bible to the very end of the Bible, Revelation, the 19th chapter and the 9th verse says this, and the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added that these are the true and the good words of God. And so he said, I'm going to bring you guys to a buffet. It's going to be an all-you-can-eat buffet, and there's not going to be any calorie problems. You know. That's real heaven. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, yeah, but you know, somebody said, they said recently, they said, man, maybe it's the reason why we love buffets so much is because it points to heaven. And my response is, if you keep going to buffets, you're just going to get to heaven a lot faster, you know? But God has given us the joy of eating. There's another writer, Tim Chesser, says, the world is much more delicious than it needs to be. Just think of bacon, you know? I mean, we're designed to gather around tables. We're designed to gather around tables. We are physically designed to gather around tables anywhere between 3 and 7 times a day. It's actually a necessity for us that we gather around tables 3 to 7 times a day. I was watching one of those television shows recently, and they were talking about pythons, and I saw something that I didn't realize. When you watch the eating habits of the animal kingdom, they're so different from us in so many different ways. Did you know that a python basically eats one meal, and that one meal lasts them for like 30 days? 30 days, that's all they eat, is just like one meal, a whole chicken or a whole deer or something, and then it lasts them for 30 days. Just think of this. God could have created us, because he's the creator, he could have created us to be just like that. He could have created us that we only eat one meal every 30 days, but instead he created us that 3 to 7 times a day, he calls us to gather around tables. That there's something that he thought would and should take place around a table. So we as Americans and we as Christians need to reclaim the table. I found some statistics recently, and I thought this was very interesting. Did you know that on the average, Americans eat 20% of their meals in their car? Now, I'm not talking about like they pick it up and go through drive-thru and then they go to the office or they go back to the house or something. They actually, one out of every 5 meals is eaten in the car. We're too busy. Can somebody say amen? Like, the average family in America only eats dinner together one time a week. Average family in America only eats dinner together. They only gather together one time a week. And yet there are so many studies that tell us just the opposite of what we should be doing here, that families that meet together at least 3 times a week, families that meet together and have dinner together at least 3 times a week, the children are prone to a much higher success rate as adults. They are 40% less likely to be obese. They'll excel in school. Truancy in families where the children meet together at a table, truancy is cut in half. There was a study at Vanderbilt University where there were some students who were excelling in reading. And at first they wanted to do this study. And so they were doing some blind studies on this. And the initial premise was that children that excelled in reading because their parents read to them at night. And instead, what they found was children that excelled in reading, the common denominator in all of them was that they had dinner with their family a minimum of 3 days a week. That dinner with their family a minimum of 3 days a week. And what took place is as they listened to their family and as they had conversation, they learned how to converse. They learned how to talk to adults. They learned how to have conversation about things that were maybe a little bit bigger than them and see some things that maybe they would not have seen otherwise. One of the studies, they discovered this, that Americans have common words that we all use together. Our common vocabulary is about 3,000 words. And then there's about 1,000 uncommon words that people with higher IQs use. They found that children who had dinner with their family 3 days a week, they didn't just use the 3,000 common words. They had a tendency to speak into the 1,000 extra uncommon words. They learned a larger vocabulary. And consequently, it made a difference in their lives. Leonard Sweet, who is, Dr. Leonard Sweet is just one of my favorite writers. He's written over 40 books. There was a study that he did that they found that in the Amish community, 95% of the children in the Amish lifestyle do not leave their lifestyle. And as they began to study it, they discovered that even though they have the opportunity, when they become, I think it's 18 years old, they have the opportunity to leave, 95% of them return. And they said the thing that causes that to take place is that family community. And in the Amish family, they gather around tables 2 times a day. They gather around the table and the father gives the blessing and he affirms his children. They sing songs together in the Amish community. The Jewish community, and I was kind of astounded at this. In the Jewish community, in Israel, there are only 6.5 million Jews. I was kind of surprised about this. It's a pretty insignificant number of Jews in the entire world. There are only 15 million Jewish people in the entire world. They're 2.2% of the entire population. And yet the Jewish people have 50% of the Nobel Peace Prizes. There are a lot of scholars that have studied this, and they find that the common thing that all Jews have is there are dinners that they have that tell the story of where they've come from, who they are, and where they're going. They know their culture. They know what their history is. They know what they're supposed to achieve as the people of God. And consequently, what they've discovered is when they turn 18 years old, their children are not looking for their identity. They know who they are. They know where they've come from, and they know what their culture expects out of them, that they're going to become people who really produce in this world. And many, many of them, they go out and they start businesses, they become innovators, they become leaders in the business community, and it's because they have already found out who they are. In my family, we have a tradition where we have Christmas Eve dinner for my family, and it's some unusual food. It's Slavic food, and we kind of figured my grandparents came up with this stuff when they came to America and wanted to keep some foods alive from Czechoslovakia, and so we make sauerkraut and mushroom soup. It takes 2 days to cook it. There's a thing called halushki, and it's dumpling noodles, and they serve it with either poppy seed or cottage cheese, and so we kind of figured out, like, these are the very cool things that my grandparents did, and we have family communion. Well, recently we got a magazine from the Lutheran Society that my father used to belong to. We got a magazine from the Czechoslovakian Lutheran Society. Imagine that there is such a thing. And in it, they said, these are the recipes that Lutheran Czechoslovakian families have done since the Reformation on Christmas Eve. And it was the recipes that we cook in our family. So it made me understand that I'm a part of a bigger history. I'm a part of a bigger tradition in my family. And when we gather together, and like, it's almost kind of the deal in our family that if you don't like the Christmas Eve food, you may not get into the family if you're dating somebody in the family. Because it's a part of our culture. Leonard Sweet says this. He says, the Old Testament can be summed up into three phases. Phrases. They're trying to kill us. We survived. Let's eat. A few weeks ago, I did a sermon here at Christ Church of Orlando that I think summarizes the New Testament. And that is, I love you. I forgive you. Let's have supper together. Our Christian culture is, I love you. I forgive you. Let's have supper together. It's amazing that the table should be reclaimed in our lives. Revelation, the 3rd chapter and the 20th verse says this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. The Lord is standing at the door ready to come in. Are you ready? And dine with us. So I'm going to give you a couple of things and I'm going to close this out in just a few moments. A couple of things I'd like for you to walk away with from this day with. Are you ready? Here's 3 things I'd like for you to consider. The first thing is, will you use the hashtag? CCO Reclaim Table, CCO Reclaim Table, and post it on your Instagram and Facebook and Twitter and tell people how much you love your church and point them in this direction. The second thing I'm going to challenge you to do, and I'm going to ask everyone to do this. Are you ready? Here's the second thing I'm going to ask everyone to do. I'm going to ask you to pray over every meal for the next month. I'm going to ask you to pray over every meal, and it doesn't matter, breakfast, lunch, dinner, if you're by yourself or in a crowd, I'm going to ask you to pray, regardless of where you are. And some of you are probably thinking, well, I know I have some business luncheons coming up here, like I'm going to have to travel, I'm going to be with some people from the office. I'm going to ask you to pause at those places, at that lunch, and before you dig in and before you go on, just if you have to blame it on me, say, my pastor has asked us for the month of September. He's asked us for the month of September to practice praying and giving thanks. And I'm not talking about, you know, just on the sly. You know, I'm talking about this kind of prayer. Oh, thank you Jesus for the food, you know. I'm not talking about, you know, like the tie your shoe prayer, you know, like, you know, I'm talking about just pausing for a second, asking them to just excuse you for a moment and just say, like, for my faith, I'm going to practice my faith for just a moment and I'm going to give thanks for the food. You can do it silently or you could do it out loud, but will you do it? And I think you'll be surprised. I think you're going to be surprised that if you'll make room for Christ at the table, if you'll make room for Jesus at the table, you'll find that he just might show up there. He just might show up. And I'm not talking about like being obnoxious or, you know, standing up and like, oh, thou great God. Attention, everybody. Oh, thou great God, worker of every good work, thou dost great. No, I'm not talking about that kind of prayer. I'm talking about really just taking a moment and having gratitude. If in school, for our students in school, in the boardroom, if you're a leader in the community, doesn't matter where you are, take the opportunity. And again, if you need an excuse, blame it on me. So here's, I'm going to ask you to do these three things. Use the hashtag, pray at every meal. And here's the third thing I'm going to ask you to do. And this is going to be a leap for some of you. I'm going to ask you for the next month to have three meals together with your family. Doesn't matter if it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner. I'm going to ask you to have three meals with everybody seated at the table. You might have to come up with some ways for you to have some conversations, have 10 questions for mom or dad, or 10 things. Do something that maybe you have some conversation about your life. I have come up with something, and so there's a thing called table talk, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more, but maybe while you're spending time together, this is Jeff Foxworthy just came out with this game. It's called Relative Insanity. You play it with your relatives. Relative Insanity. And basically, there's no, you don't have to figure it out in any way. Like, you get a card and somebody else gets a stack of cards, and you read your card and they read one of their five cards. And they have to read the one they think is the funniest one. And then the people at the table vote whether it was good or not. And so, so I'm going to ask somebody who's going to make a commitment to do three meals at their table. I saw that, Katrina. Here we go. I'm going to give this to you. Here we go. And so enjoy dinner time and some conversation with your family. So I'm going to ask you to do these three things. I'm going to ask you to use the hashtag, get together, and then I'm going to ask you to make sure that you have three meals together a week. I'm going to give you some rules for these meals together. Are you ready? Here's some rules. I left some places there for them. Are you ready? Here's the first rule. No telephones. No telephones. Shut the ringer off. Shut the silence off. No telephones during dinner. Here's the second one. No TV or electronics during dinner. No TV or electronics. I watch anymore, and like you go to dinner and you have dinner with friends or family, and like the kids are on their electronics while you're having dinner. I'm like, man, I would love for them to be a part of the conversation. I'd love to know them better and for them to know us better. And one of the things that begins to take place is you learn, a child learns, and we learn how to pay attention to each other, how to pay attention to your food. Did you know that studies show that one of the reasons why there's so much obesity in America is because we eat our food and we're so distracted by the environment around us, by the television, by telephones. We have so much that's going on that we get done eating and we don't even remember that we ate. Like our body and our mind doesn't even remember that we ate, and later on we think like, well, I'm still hungry. And it's because maybe we should sit there and talk for a few moments, talk about the value of the food, talk about what it took for us to make it. Talk about what our favorite thing is about it, what we didn't like about it, how we're going to change it. Our bodies actually forget that we ate. And so I'm going to ask you, no phones, no electronics. And here's the third one. Are you ready? Eat at home if possible. Eat at home if possible. Now, I know that like we live in a restaurant culture, and Orlando is actually the number one restaurant city. We eat more restaurants, eat more meals in restaurants in Orlando than any other city in the United States. And so if you can, and maybe if you go out to eat a lot, here's what I'm going to just challenge you to do, because I know there's some guys working on this already. Okay, we're going to eat dinner together. We're going to go to that restaurant because I know they have sports TVs up. I'm going to sit on this side so I can watch the television. Like, come on, man, don't cheat, you know? Let's reclaim the table and let's reclaim dinner. As far as I can see, God invented the table. Wikipedia says that the Egyptians invented the table, but in Exodus, the 25th chapter, God actually tells Moses to build a table and put it in the tabernacle. On it is going to be bread. And you know what that was? It was a place where God would meet with man. Like God represented that he wanted to meet with us at a table. And quite possibly he wants to meet with your family at a table. So this isn't just about like a culture. This is actually maybe a place where God can do some work. Here's the last things I'm going to say, and I'm going to close out. The table is a place for discipleship. Jesus met with his disciples, it says in Matthew 26 chapter, and while they were eating, he began to tell them what was going to take place. He began to speak to them about their future. The Bible says that Jesus says in Luke, the 7th chapter, that John the Baptist, he did not eat anything pleasant and he drank no wine, but the Son of Man comes eating and drinking. And he actually does his ministry around tables. There was a man that Jesus was walking into town in Luke, the 19th chapter. And when he walks into town, he sees a man up in a tree by the name of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was ostracized by the community. And you know what Jesus says to Zacchaeus? Come down from there. I'm going to go to your house and you're going to cook me a meal. You find out something about people when they cook for you and when you have a table together. At your dinner table, it's not just a place for your books and your bills. It's a place of discipleship. It's a place for you to meet with your children and with your family. And I'll just read this, Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, and I'm going to close. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. How? When you sit in your home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down, when you get up, pour into your family. Have some time, have some conversation. And what the Jewish people would do, their conversation would be about like we were slaves and we're no longer slaves. They would remember how God brought them through. Maybe your kids need to hear the story about what God's done in your life. Maybe your kids need to hear the story about how God saved you. Maybe they need to hear how one time God impressed you to do something and you didn't do it and it took you months or years to get back to what God wanted to do. Maybe they need to hear you talk about there was that time when he spoke to me and I did it and I saw God show up in my life. Listen, will you spend some time, because there's discipleship that takes place at the table. I'm going to give you just a last resource here and then I'm going to close out. And thank you for bearing with me today. This is a couple of practical things. On our church website, we put out a URL. There's a place for you to go on our website, and I've listed it in the handout. It's christchurchorl.org. Essential 55. There's an educator in Michigan who was voted Educator of the Year. As he was an educator, he began to realize that we've lost courtesy. We've lost the ability to have conversation. Has anybody else noticed, like, we don't know how to be courteous? We've lost the ability to have conversation. And so he wrote out what he saw to be, as students were going through his classroom, what were the qualities that those that became successful patterned their life after. And so these were 55 qualities. I'm going to ask everybody, just take some time, and will you download that and take a look at it? Let's reclaim this place of power. And this is the last thing I'm going to challenge you to do. Will you speak blessings over each other? Will you speak blessings over each other? Affirm each other. Tell each other how much you love each other, that you're expecting great things out of each other's lives. I'm going to take a moment here. I want to pray with you. Dear Lord, I ask you, God, that you would be with us today, and I pray that you would put in our hearts for us to reclaim the table. That we would reclaim this as families and as adults, and dear Lord, in the weeks ahead, that I know you're going to challenge us, for maybe those of us that don't have children at home, or maybe family around us, that there's ways for us to reclaim the table also. But today, as we speak to families, Lord, will you help us to draw closer to each other? And even where maybe there's been brokenness in family, will you bring us back around tables? And that we won't waste these moments, and there can be teachable moments with children and even with parents. And dear Lord, I pray for those that maybe have business meetings that are coming up, and they're going to go to lunch. And I pray that they'll have boldness. That they'll have the boldness to pray in front of their friends or in front of their business partners. Lord, I pray that our teenagers will have the boldness to pray in school, and it would be a witness. And who knows what you will do when somebody just bows their heads and gives thanks and gives grace at their table. Lord, will you just allow your presence to follow us and help us to reclaim the table? Here's what I want to do in these next few moments. If you're the head of a household, I'm going to ask you to stand. And if you're here as a couple, just go ahead and stand together. If you're the head of a household, will you just go ahead and stand? Okay. So I'm going to talk to you directly. Will you be bold? Do three meals together with your family. Three meals together a week for the next month. Give thanks. Share stories. I want to pray for you as the head of the household. And I'm going to ask the Lord that he'll give you the boldness that you need, and that he'll give you the wisdom how to craft this conversation. Lord, I ask you that you'll touch. And Lord, we open our homes to you. And we ask you, dear Lord, that you would be glorified in everything that we say in our homes, everything that we do. Make a way, dear Lord, for there to be a new level of discipleship between husbands and wives, between parents and children. Lord, I pray your blessing over every one of these households in the name of Jesus. I speak your peace over them. I speak your blessings over them now. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask everybody to stand today. If you'd like to have more prayer at the end of this service, our prayer partners, if you'll step out of your seats, they're going to meet you down front here. Maybe you need boldness. Maybe you need boldness to be able to pray for somebody, or pray at your office, or pray over your meal. They're going to be down here. If you're sick, if you have any need in your life, our prayer partners are going to meet you right down front here, and they're going to be here to pray with you. And so today, I'm going to let you go. I'm glad that you're here. If you need prayer, just again, come. Stop outside. Take a look at some of the items that have been reclaimed. Next week, we're going to broaden the conversation. Maybe some of us who don't have family at home, how do we reclaim the table? And I think that you're going to find out that God is really going to do a work here in our church. I think this is an important conversation for us at this time here at Christ Church. He's going to do an important work for us here at Christ Church as we reclaim the table. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you.
May God keep you in his peace. Go in the peace and the power of God. We love you, and God loves you, Christ Church.